Hello everyone, this is another episode of the Freelance Chronicle podcast under the eveningpostaustralia.com. On today's episode, we're talking about the recent Taiwan earthquake that happened yesterday. And as of now, the rescuers are working to free a dozen of people trapped after a 7.4 magnitude earthquake hit Taiwan East Coast on Wednesday. They're saying this is the strongest in 25 years, and at least 9 people were killed, more than 900 others injured, and over 100 buildings damaged in the quake, which also caused some landslide and some tsunami warning in the Philippines and also in Japan. On today's episode, we're talking to Associate Professor Stuart Clark of University of New South Wales. Professor Clark is a geophysicist from the School of Civil and Environmental Engineering and an expert in the physics of the Earth and the plate tectonics. Associate Professor Stuart Clark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
First thing, so about this recent earthquake in Taiwan after 25 years. Was there any warning about this?
Well, as far as we know, there doesn't seem to be any sort of major quakes or anything happening before. Sometimes a quiet period can be a kind of warning in itself. However, you know, there was no real, there's no real way to know if that's going to precede a very large earthquake or not.
So you say, what kind of earthquake is this? They're saying it's 7.45 magnitude earthquake, but there's a different.
Yeah, so it's in the it's occurring at like onshore at around 35 kilometers of depth in the crust. It's part of a collision area where the coastal range of Taiwan is being sort of thrust onto the main island. This coastal range represents a kind of originally an oceanic ridge of some kind, an arc, a volcanic arc, if you like, called the Luzon Arc, that originates in the Philippines and moves upwards to Taiwan. So this Luzon Arc actually docks on shore in this coastal range. And between the coastal range and the central range, which is the main mountain range in Taiwan, there's a little valley running along in that strip where a lot of the settlements are, including Hualien City is in that strip as well.
So there's a different reported information of data. So they're saying the epicenter in the deep of 7.4 magnitude, sometimes it's different. The deep, some Taiwan report, it's a different magnitude or the intensity. Why so it's not on the same with the, why it's different data and different authorities about this?
So they have different models for working that out, and they do an inversion based on the data that they receive. And so depending on which, you know, what access to what data they have initially, they will do the inversion. So Taiwanese authorities will have a whole lot of arrays around Taiwan, and the USGS will have, which is the other main reporting authority, has an array around the world. So when they do their inversion, which is trying to find the location, so that they receive all this data at all these sensors, and they have to go work out where that data is coming from, where's the origin point, and what the likely sort of magnitude of that was. So yeah, it's all to do with that kind of inversion, what numbers they put in, what data they have, and as time goes on, they can build in more and more of that data and get a more accurate picture. But you know, right on the day, there can be some differences.
So the next question for you, Professor, how did this earthquake compare in magnitude and impact to the devastating earthquake in, I think it's 1999 in Taiwan?
Yeah, so the 99 earthquake was 7.7. There's been two other ones of 7.1 magnitude in between those since 1999. So there was 7.1 in 2002 and 7.1 in 2006. Yeah, the last one before that was, I think, 1986. So you can sort of see, you know, it's roughly every 10 years, but it can be 5 years or so as well, or as short as three. So the magnitude, these kind of very large earthquakes do happen around that region. There's a couple of big subduction zones around right there. There's the Ryukyu subduction zone, which goes towards Japan, and there's the Manila Trench heading towards the Philippines, and they sort of converge on Taiwan and meet there. Yeah, so there's a lot of seismic activity in that range, in that area, and as well as I mentioned, the coastal range is kind of being pushed on shore. So there's a big fault called the Longitudinal Valley Fault that is responsible for a lot of the earthquakes as well, as well as a bunch being offshore as well.
Thank you, Professor, for that. So the question I have is that because I was looking on the video, it's like swinging. It's a lot of building of damage. How prepared was Taiwan infrastructure, and do you think the emergency response system to handle this earthquake on this magnitude?
Yeah, so I'm not really, you know, able to speak much to that. I can see that I think there's been a number of improvements in the last few years on their ability to respond, particularly to the tsunami warnings that went out. But also the building codes should have improved quite a bit since then. And I think that's why we see relatively few casualties, even though this was a very large event and there were a lot of subsequent, as you mentioned, landslides and that went on around the area. Because it's quite mountainous, there's a lot of land, that the landslides that can occur when an earthquake occurs. So, I understand that's caused a lot of people to be trapped, but the casualty numbers seem to be quite low, although we don't know the final total yet.
Thank you for that. So what's going to be the lesson for us in Australia can be learned from this earthquake in terms of disaster preparedness or resilient infrastructure designs in on especially in seismic activity, active region?
Yeah, I mean, we had an earthquake recently in Victoria. I think it was magnitude 5. So they can occur in Australia, and it's something, you know, we need to have in our disaster preparation plan, you know, in our plans, management plans. You know, however, magnitude 5 earthquakes are, you know, not nearly as severe as this 7. They sort of, every magnitude is kind of a 10 times, you know, every time it goes up from 5 to 6, that's 10 times sort of larger amount of energy released in the earthquake. So, yeah, we probably, you know, don't have so many issues, but we need to, you know, be aware that there can be infrastructure damage. And also we've had tsunami alerts that are tied to earthquakes that happen regionally, in New Zealand or elsewhere in Southeast Asia, Indonesia, for example. So we can have impacts of these earthquakes. So being part of that Asia Pacific response is important as well. I think, you know, having teams that can go out and help other nations is always a good thing as well.
Thank you for that. Based on the historical data and the current monitoring, what is the likelihood of a similar powerful earthquake occurring again in Taiwan in the future?
Well, you can see that, you know, as I mentioned before, there's, you know, this pattern of every 5 to 10 years, but it's very hard to tell. So, but after 99, there was another one in 2002, relatively short time ahead. So it doesn't work on a very even scale. Sort of very much depends on what is going on with the tectonic forces. In this particular area, there's been a lot of earthquakes happening subsequent to the main earthquake. So all those aftershocks, and some of them were, you know, one of them was 6.4, I think, that happened a short time afterwards. But there's been a bunch in the 4 or 5 hours after the main earthquake of magnitude 5 or more. There were 15 earthquakes in total that occurred. So they kind of release a lot of the energy in and around that area. However, the broader, you know, the broader east coast of Taiwan is still, you know, largely there's not a lot of release of energy from this event. So that only covers about maybe a fifth of the coastline. And as I mentioned, these subduction zones and this convergence occurs all along the margins. So there's a lot of other locations that I would be watching at the moment, to be aware that there could be large earthquakes happening there.
Thank you so much for that. Any parting word to our listener right now in relation with the Taiwan earthquake and possible earthquake might happen in Australia as well?
Yeah, just I think, you know, it's unfortunate these earthquakes occur, but they do teach us a lot about our environment and the long-term history of the Earth's evolution. The island of Taiwan itself wouldn't exist if we didn't have this kind of tectonic activity. So although these things can be quite devastating, they're also part of our whole Earth system and a very interesting thing to study. How they evolve over time and how they impact landforms and land surfaces and what we can learn about the Earth from them.
Thank you so much, Associate Professor Stuart Clark from University of New South Wales, and it's under School of Civil and Environmental Engineering. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to chat today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to Associate Professor Stuart Clark of University of New South Wales in relation with the Taiwan earthquake yesterday. This is another episode of the Free Man Chronicle podcast. See you again for the next episode. Thank you, and this is Miko Santos.